And as usual at this time, I'm delighted to be joined once more by Francis Clamp. Now, Francis, I seem to recall that you back in March, you kind of visited the Chaplain's House in Brentwood, but I think this time around you're going to be looking a little more detail at the building itself, the chapel, and the land surrounding the property. Is that right?
Well, this is the whole thing about history, that it does overlap. It has to, because you may have a building, but different people use it. And this time, yes, we're certainly looking at the chaplain and his accommodation rather than just the chapel itself. But I shall mention both.
Right. OK, go ahead. Keep us informed.
Well, as you walk to the Baytree Centre in Brentwood, past the ruined chapel, do you ever wonder what was there in earlier times? Probably not. We're usually in too much of a rush. At the far end of the high street, where the Sir Charles Napier public house stood, there's a large hoarding, which I've also mentioned before, showing a map of Brentwood during 1717. On this can be seen the chapel, and close by a small building, probably of Wattle and Daub, where the chaplain once lived. It was in 1221, during the reign of Henry III, that the chapel was built. We've already seen how this was necessary as, following the death of Thomas à Becket, an ever-growing number of pilgrims came through the town on their way to Canterbury. They objected to a 2-mile walk along muddy tracks to worship at the parish church in South Weald. Once the chapel was built, a chaplain was appointed, paid for by the donations from many travellers. Mind you, the Mother Church wasn't going to lose out, and there were restrictions laid down on what the chaplain could and couldn't do. Baptisms and burials couldn't take place in the chapel, and communions in the hearing of confessions were also banned unless prior consent had been obtained from the priest at South Weald. In fact, life can't have been easy for the chaplain. He had a house, but this would almost certainly have been very primitive. Often there was one room with a table, a narrow bed, probably with a straw-filled mattress, which can't have been that comfortable, a place to pray, and a box for any possessions the priest might have. Occasionally there was a room for sleeping in the loft, reached by ladders. If there was a brick chimney, then there would have been a fire for cooking. But this could well have been in the centre of the floor instead, with a hole above for smoke to escape. And certainly the sketch of the chapel doesn't seem to show a chimney. Luxurious, it most certainly was not. Within a century, complaints were made to the Bishop of London that duties at the chapel were being neglected, and the house of the chaplain was being used by laymen. Action was taken. In 1388, a dwelling and some acres of land were made available for the chaplain at Brentwood Chapel. This was essential for food, for keeping animals, probably for getting fresh eggs. He was also to be paid £5 per year. Now, that land is where the Baytree Centre now stands. It's funny to think, isn't it, as those shops function now, that once the chaplain would have grown his vegetables and kept his chickens there. Anyway, in 1540, Sir Anthony Brown became owner of the nearby manor, and one of his duties was to continue paying the chaplain his £5. However, his heir refused to pay this amount and decided to confiscate the house and land for his own use. We've already heard how the women of Brentwood took matters into their own hands and shut themselves in the chapel so that it couldn't be destroyed. The complaints went to the Court of the Exchequer, and the heir was forced to abide by all previous decisions and also to pay for repairs to the building. The 1717 map certainly showed the chaplain's house, but by 1770 it wasn't shown on Chapman and Andre maps for the period. Perhaps it was considered too insignificant to include, Certainly by the time the new St. Thomas's Church was built in 1835, there would have been no need for a chaplain's house. So the house disappeared from Brentwood's history. But very different buildings were to come on this valuable site, and we will hear more about them in the future.
Thanks, Francis. I seem to recall you mentioning before that that this guy had suddenly decided he wasn't going to pay. But he took the place over himself, but he still let it fall into rack and ruin, didn't he?
No, that was considerably later.
Oh, was it?
And that was with the building of the new St. Thomas's. It had been used for a while as a national boys' school. So it wasn't still being used as a chapel all the way through. Hmm. But throughout the Middle Ages, it was a chapel. And it had its own chaplain.
Right. Now, I imagine that next week you're going back to Billericay, am I right?
Yes, I am.
And
next week we are going to go to the Foxcroft Children's Home in Billericay.
And...
no dates.
All right. OK. You obviously knew what was coming, so...
I sort of saw that glint in your eye and thought, he wants a date. Well, I could give you a date. The house it was in was originally built in 1880.
Oh, right.
And that's all the dates I'm giving at this stage.
The problem is, that's all you know. You haven't looked it up yet.
No, I have others. I've written it.
All right, we look forward to that. Thank you very much. We'll see you next week.
Right.